If you have questions or comments to this podcast, please send them to spirals@unicornvoice.com. You can also get more information on unicornvoice.com about trauma. My name is Tonya.
And I'm Robin.
And I am Robin's mom.
And I am my mother's kid.
And I am 47 years old.
I'm 14 and I go by they, them pronouns.
And I go by whatever, as long as you don't call me really nasty things.
Well, I mean, I think you go by, because you don't want to be called he or it or they, do you?
Oh, that's true.
You like she and her, right?
Yeah.
So you're she, her.
So without knowing, you know, what this is going to be about, basically, you just jumped into something pretty interesting. So that's something that I feel is very difficult for parents today. The whole pronouns thing, you know?
Yeah, I think that they refuse to try to understand it because it wasn't a part of their life when they were younger.
Yeah.
They didn't get to choose their name or what they got called. You know, if they were a girl, they were a girl. If they were a guy, they were a guy. They didn't get to choose that. Yeah,
I think you're right. That was how it was back then. And, you know, there was probably a lot of things that happened when I was a kid that my, you know, the generation over me, my parents' generation, just kind of pulled their hair out from. So, yeah, I just, you know, I don't know how many times we're going to sit here and talk about stuff or what we're going to talk about. But for today, it's pretty specific. We can definitely talk about a lot of things, but, you know, just jumping into this pronouns thing is probably a way of us trying to understand each other better, and that's what we're trying to do. And I mean, basically, that's my job, right? Because I'm your mom, and I'm trying to understand myself better and also trying to understand you better.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to communicate better, which doesn't always go so well.
Well, into that topic, the reason I go by they, them pronouns is because I am non-binary.
What does that mean?
Non-binary is that it's something that you can't choose. You can't choose if you're a boy or a girl. It's kind of like, you're neither, you know, you don't feel like you fit into being a female and you don't fit into being a male, or it's something that you want to be both. You know, it's different for everyone. Some people want to be both and some people don't want to be either. So being non-binary is kind of, it's not just they them pronouns, it's different pronouns, kind of, I guess, of your choice. It's just, it's more of an androgynous kind of gender. So the most common gender or pronouns in the non-binary gender is they them. That's the most commonly used pronouns. There are people such as demigirls and demiguys who are she and they and he and they. It's all different, you know. Pronouns are just what you feel most comfortable in. Some people choose not to have pronouns, which is okay, as long as they don't disrespect others' pronouns. That's okay with a lot of people.
Yeah. And it's important to be heard, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Especially,
that's what it's all about.
I mean, yeah. But
it's important to be kind of seen and heard for who you believe you are. And I think also this is you at 14, maybe you at 15, 16, 17, 25 will change. You will think completely differently. And that's okay too. You're totally okay to change your mind and say, hey, that's how I felt then. And that is not my way of saying you're going to grow out of it. But who knows who they are at any given time? We change all the time.
I mean, if we do end up getting listeners who don't have supportive parents or never had supportive parents, just know you are valid and we support you in every single way, no matter what.
That is so sweet. Yes. I love that about you.
Thanks.
So the topic today, or not topic today, it sounds like we're doing a podcast. Who knows what we're going to do with this?
But I mean, we're not probably going to do it for 2 months because we're going to be gone.
See, and who knows what we're going to do, but there is a reason. So there is a reason why I wanted us to record this, whether we use this for something or whether this is just a conversation between you and me. So I've always kind of prided myself on telling you everything in my life, everything that's been going on, everything I've been through from you were a very little kid. And you used to ask me a lot of questions. And I always thought that the best way to handle that was to answer the questions you asked and then stop. So I wouldn't ask any more questions. Or I wouldn't answer anything that you haven't asked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at some point you kind of stopped asking me about my childhood. And you remember we've talked about my childhood, like yeah. My dad. What do you remember?
I remember your dad was a jerk. I specifically remember you telling me that your dad, I think he like poured salt in your eyes because you asked for salt when you had soup.
True.
And he fell down a sewer thingy when you were 16.
Well, he bicycled into a hole in the ground when I was 17.
Oh, 17.
So remember, like, I told you that he wasn't a great guy.
Yeah, and I remember your mom wasn't super great either. I remember you telling me the story about how you guys were watching something and he threw a shoe in this window thingy. That's why there's a glass piece missing.
That's true. That's not funny, but it's true. It's still there.
Laughing
still
about missing. Your trauma.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But that's true. He threw a pair of shoes because I'd bought these turquoise high heels and I was like 14 and he hated those and he threw them, which is really odd.
He's an odd guy.
Yeah. So one thing that I haven't told you that I've always meant to tell you, but I haven't told you because I don't know, because you stopped asking and I figured when you were ready to listen or hear about it, it wasn't a secret. But now you're 14, and I think it's about time. And why you haven't read about it anywhere is beyond me. I don't understand. But so when I was a child, I was sexually abused. And I don't think you knew that. So
I think, were you 15?
No, I was probably a baby up until I was 12, around 12, when I was a very, very young child. It's my first childhood memories. So it was my father who abused me. So I don't think you knew that. And I kind of, you know, it's not like I'm going to tell you all the details because there's nothing anyone needs to know. But I kind of wanted you to know because it explains a lot about who I am and why I am the way I am. And, you know, I'm 47 and I'm going into another round of therapy. And you might wonder what the hell's going on.
Did your mom know about this?
Yes, so...
And she knew it was happening while she was in the house?
No. So when my mom, or when I was 15 years old, I told my mom. So to put it this way, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't understand. So when I was 15 years old, I actually heard my boyfriend at the time, 15, 16, and he was talking to his friend and they were talking about another friend they had. And a story about her. And I remember thinking to myself, listening to her story about her uncle, and I thought, what? It's nothing. I've been through much worse. I was not in a good place for many years, but for me, it was almost like a competition. You know, I thought, so they're standing around feeling sorry for her? Well, what about me? And I never even thought about what really happened to me up until that point. And I didn't reflect on it until I was in my, you know, late 20s, early 30s, like right before I had you. It wasn't something I felt connected to. I felt like, oh, you know, everybody has tough things in their childhood, you know, you get over it, you move on, and yeah. And then I didn't realize how much it had affected me and what it really had done with me. So I thought one of the major things in the world is that kids don't really know their parents. You know, they don't know. Parents try to be this parent. They forget to be a person. So if you can talk to your kid about these kind of things, then maybe they can understand you a little bit better and also understand themselves a little better and also understand their life a little better. So
You know, if there ever is an afterlife thing, your dad's gonna be dead again, I guess.
Don't you ever wonder what happened to him, though? For him to be doing something like that to a little child?
There's no excuse to do that to a child.
No, but there's an explanation. How fucked up you are,
there's an explanation, but there's no excuse to do that. That's not fair to take it out on you.
I think maybe if you've been really messed up in your life and you experienced a lot of really difficult things, you don't know how to process them. And today we are much more open about these things. When I was a little child, this was something that people didn't think happened. They thought, oh, it's happening like on a, way out in some rural area somewhere, somebody heard about someone. Nobody thought this happened right under their, in their house. Like this was something that happened around them. And my mom and I have talked about this a lot, and she had no idea. She said she knew he was not a good person and he had a lot of problems, but she never understood that every night when she went upstairs to drink coffee with her mom, he was alone in the house and he came into my room. He knocked on my door every night, and I don't remember him knocking on the door. That's actually something my older brother told me, that he heard him knocking on my door. So he heard what happened.
And he never did anything.
He was a little child. He had no idea what to do. He was very small.
Which one?
The older one.
Older one?
You know, no, none of the children knew what to do.
Are you comfortable sharing what he did with you? What do you remember?
Well, I think it's not necessary because I don't want you to have those kind of pictures.
Yeah.
But, this went on for years, several probably nights a week. And it has such a long-standing impact. It's like, you know how I sometimes can act like a child, not like an adult, And I'm not saying that excuses anything, but these are the things that I'm working on today. Trying to really get into this trauma and in my body, work with it and get through it so I could be a more whole person, if you understand what I mean. I know this is kind of like a bomb, but I thought, my band, Unicorn, That's what I used to do. I used to travel around singing about this, and a lot of my lyrics are about this, and there's articles. There's even an article with you in my belly in the newspaper in Norway, And I would, how you Google people?
Yeah.
I remember once you came into the bathroom here And you were like, hey, mommy, you're famous. I was like, well, hardly, but you had found some articles about me. And I thought, oh, here we go. Here comes that. Now she's going to have found
out. It wasn't articles, it was just pictures of you.
Yeah, and you didn't read what it said because you don't read that much Norwegian anymore. So that was so fascinating because I was totally expecting it. And then I feel like in a way you're 14. I waited too long to tell you, but this is what it is.
This is the right age to tell me.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Like, you're probably going to need a little bit of time to process this, and maybe we can talk again about this, like when you've had some time to think, and if you have other questions or something that...
Well, all I'm feeling right now is very upset. I am very upset that that happened to you, and I would, if I ever met your father, I don't know what I'd do, but I'd probably do something out of anger.
So you control myself. Angry.
I feel like I can't control myself when someone hurts you. Very protective thing. I mean, it's just knowing that you've been hurt before hurts me. And I feel like it wasn't fair of him to do that. It definitely wasn't fair of him to do that. I mean, Jesus, you're a fucking kid.
You don't have to swear, though.
Sorry.
I'm going to bleep it out. Okay. Even though we do swear a lot.
Yeah. Swear warning,
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand how you get angry. And you know that I've been very, very angry in my life. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no denying that. That anger has been a big part of your childhood. And, we've talked about that a couple of times too, how you know, you say that you get so mad at him, but I took some of my anger out on you, as you know.
Yeah, I think that's why I have a very hard time controlling my anger when you get angry, because I think that's kind of a trauma response. So when you get mad, I immediately just get really mad. I think that's because you were always very mad at me as a young kid, and it's just, it's without even knowing it, just like that, I'm just pissed off because I don't know what to do, you know? I don't know how to handle myself in these situations because I never could when I was younger. I was too young to process it and take my emotions out somehow. I think I would just sit there in shock as a kid. I didn't know what to do. I'd either cry or just sit there. I wasn't sure if it was my fault or if something was happening, you know? So I think that's why I get very mad at you these days very easily. When you get mad, I get very annoyed easily. I ticked off very quickly.
Yeah, and if I'm hoping to ever teach you how to respond in a certain situations,
I'm working on it.
I'm not really doing that. Because, I mean, I am teaching you to respond, but not in a way that I would like you to respond. So you probably, you seem like you're mimicking my response a lot of the time. So however I respond, that's how you respond, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so kids do what you do. They don't do what you say.
Especially when you're at a dinner table with a bunch of grown adults and you laugh with them pretending you know what the joke was.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm, I remember doing that. I remember sitting at the table laughing and I didn't understand a single thing you guys were saying. And I just laugh with you to feel included. I remember a few other kids did that too, but now I can't. You know, I understand a few things too fast, you know, like... That's what she said.
Yes, gosh, we've had a lot of experiences where you have told that joke when you were little in front of a lot of adults and they just looked at me like, who are you people? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. But I'm thinking that if, you know, I'm thinking that the way I live my life is not a recipe. It's not like any instructions. I'm just a human, right? And basically I would love to have a conversation. And honestly, before I was going to tell you this, I looked up many places online to see how can I talk to Robin about this. And there's very little information. And there's really nobody that I've seen that has had this conversation with their kid, you know, so others could listen. And it's more like, let's start this conversation, because I don't know if you know the numbers, but they're staggering. Like, there are so many abused children, sexually abused children that grow up, and they are going to have kids. And then they don't talk to their kids about what happened, and their kids are going to know that there's a missing piece of that puzzle. They just always know it. Did you ever feel that way?
I've always kind of felt a missing piece from you. I don't think it'll ever be filled, in my opinion. That's because from as a kid, I didn't know. I think I never got to really grow up. I think I was kind of stuck in my childhood for too long. I held on to things too long, but I also let them go too quickly, in a way. I let the more serious things, I let go of the more serious things, and I held on to the less serious things because I wasn't sure what was bad or not. So from a young age, you know, I think the older I got, the less physical abuse, not abuse, but I guess not really, I don't know if it's abuse or not, but the less, we can say less violence I got from my parents. So the older I got, the more verbal abuse there was, the more mental kind of... Now, from 13 to now, I'm only 14, but from 13 to now, that trauma has kind of started making sense, and I've kind of processed it, and it's really bleeping up my head.
Yeah.
It's kind of all in there, so I always have something on my mind. I'm always thinking about... When I was 3 years old, when I was 3 years old and you bit me on the nose. Yeah. Because I wouldn't get out of my, or was, I wouldn't get out of my car seat, right?
No, he was nothing like, you were, you wanted to stay sledding. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was it. And I lost, I didn't even lose my temper. It was terrible. It was one of the biggest regrets of my life. And it woke me up too. Something changed in me that day, but...
Not really. I think for the day it might have, but I still remember being grabbed by the shoulder a lot.
Yeah.
Like, grabbed a bunch and, like... I don't know. I feel like I just pushed away all my memories. I shoved them out of my head so I can't remember anything. That's why I only remember bits and pieces of the good stuff that happened, but not mostly all the bad stuff. I feel like that as a young kid, I learned very quickly to push that out of my head and forget. Obviously, I don't think, you know, when people say forgive and forget, I think I forgave, but I didn't forget.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
And I think for most parents, hearing this kind of stuff is very hard. It's excruciating. I think, you know, hearing a child use the words abuse, being grabbed by the shoulder, it doesn't matter what words you use, because it's still, what you're saying is that that hurt you. And that's something I, you know, the only thing you can heal that is by us talking about it, making sure it doesn't happen again. You know, I working on me. And I think a lot of parents, they don't want to listen to that. Because you have to really dig into yourself.
Yeah, I think parents think that they're always right since they're older. I think people in general think too much about age. The older you are, the more knowledge, the more power, the more, I would say, overtowering you have of younger people. You can take that out on other people, on younger generations, because that's how you were stepped on. You were stepped on when you were younger, and I feel like people take that out on younger family. They feel like they need someone to get that anger off of, and because they don't get to talk about it. Back to the topic, though, of talking, how to talk to your kid about, you know, being formerly raped or sexually abused. I think the way to bring that up with your kid is kind of just talking to them first, just making simple conversation, you know, and then begin with childhood things, you know, if that's what you want to talk about. Give me anything, any trauma that you want to tell your kid, anything that you want to share with your child is something I feel like should be brought up by slow conversation, spending time with them. It doesn't have to be the same day that you come up with that conversation. It can be, I don't know, a month later, a year later. It can be whenever you feel is fit of that conversation. But as an adult, you need to try first, because your child always wants to talk to you, no matter what, no matter if the day before you just hit them. Your child needs you. And it's not okay to push them away or anything like that. I mean, if your kid's gay, then let them be gay. It's who they want to be. It's who they feel they are. I mean, what, you don't have to come up to your parents and say, oh, I'm straight. Imagine if it was that way. All kids were gay and you had to come up to your parents and be like, oh, I'm straight, you know. It's not something that your child has to be scared of saying to you. Of course, it can be nerve-wracking, and you can be nervous about it, but it's not something you should be deadly scared of. It's who they are, you know. You cannot shame your child for being who they are and who they want to be. Because when you do that, you slowly chip them away, arguing with them for dumb reasons. And in doing certain things with your child, like, there's many things you can do. You're in the future, you may not even have contact with them anymore. Your child might want to get away from you as soon as they can. I mean, it's hard being a parent, obviously, as you can tell, but I think it's worth taking those risks and talking, because when you do, that's when you get that contact, and it kind of fixes anything. It adds a new
kind of healing
chapter. That's a new chapter in your life.
Yeah.
A new beginning with your parent. It makes you feel like the most important two people in your life, or it doesn't have to be two people. It can be more than two people, but the most important people, the most important guardians in your life are there for you.
So you think that you should tell your parents? No, you should tell your kids about stuff that has happened to you.
Not immediately, but some point in your life. Yeah, it can be whenever you're most comfortable with it. But sharing things with your children is better than being a mom or dad or parent that's shut off and won't and doesn't talk to them. You know, most parents, it's the regular home life is that your parents are at work, your kids are at school. You come home, you give them, you either buy them or take something from the fridge to eat. You know, you don't spend the time to be with them while they're eating. You know, you usually go upstairs and work, or I'm not sure. It's hard to explain, but most parents don't spend that time with that child when they need it.
How can they do that? What do you suggest?
It all starts with kind of asking them, like, how are you? How was your day? How are you feeling? Like, if your child comes up to you and tells you that they're not okay, or that they're not mentally or even physically doing well, that's something that you are supposed to help them with. You know, you seek help for them. If they need a therapist, you get them a therapist. If they need a psychiatrist to find out what they need, you know, because your kid could have critical depression and you don't even know it. You know, your kid might need some sort of help and you don't want that.
Why wouldn't a parent want that, do you think?
It's because they don't want to think their kid's not okay. They don't want to think that they did a bad job with their parenting. They don't want to feel like, oh my God, I did worse than my mother. I'd be like, are you
telling me? Or I did the same.
Yeah, or the same, you know?
That's like, the worst.
Gosh. Yeah.
So how would you feel? We're sitting here talking. So how would you feel if somebody heard this, if other people heard what we're talking about? I mean, we're sitting here talking and it's kind of like, it's not that natural a conversation because it isn't that easy to talk when you're recording something. But how would you feel if somebody would listen to this kind of conversation?
Well,
do you think it would be helpful to some? Or
I feel like it would be, and I feel like we should make some type of Google form to send out for people to ask to talk about topics. And they can have it can be a little thing at the bottom saying if you want your name in there or if you want it anonymous, you know? You can choose, be like, here's a question from blah, blah, or here's an anonymous question.
Let's just say email address, maybe, then.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, but, well,
why do we think we can answer anything, like, who made us God?
Not anything like that, but I feel like we're more of a close, I don't know what to call it, close family members. I feel like our family is definitely more open than other families here in, like, America and stuff. The parents here are very closed off and like, no, I will not talk about that with you. You are my child. You are not my friend. You are my child, you know? Yeah. That's a very strict thing here. They're like, you are not my friend. You are my kid.
Yeah, I've heard that. So is it enough that we just want to talk about it?
Yeah.
What if somebody were to critique you a lot? Or, you know, how would you feel about someone? That's hard to tell, right? What if someone made you feel bad online because, you know, cyberbullying is real and somebody didn't think what you were talking about was real and they just made fun of you? Because that's, if we know one thing, is that some people will like it and others will not like a conversation like this.
Well, I mean, if you don't like it, then why are you here?
Why are you listening? Is that
Why
what
are
you're
you
thinking?
listening? Why do you bother? Of course, if you say you do not like it and you listen to it and you actually enjoy it, that's okay. Just don't say anything. Like, just pretend you're not even listening. If that's something that you feel you need to listen to this, but you pretend to hate it, that's okay. Just write it down in your notebook. Don't give it to people because, you know, when people say, what is it called? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a complete lie. Words always hurt. Especially hurtful ones. Those hurt the most.
Well, that was genius what you said
Wow.
there. Gold.
I know, right? It's exactly, speaking of gold, you know, school's golden rule, treat others how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
It's
I like that. That's something I grew up with.
yeah.
You know, be good to others and do whatever you want after that, but always be good. It's like my one, I think there's only one thing to me that is like truth in the world. One thing that can be wrong, and that is oppression. So if whatever you're doing is oppressing someone else, like you're not letting them be gay, letting them have a certain race, letting them do what they want with their life as long as they're not hurting anyone else, that is oppression. So however you impose whatever thoughts or whatever faith you have on other people, if you don't let anyone be who they are, you're oppressing them. And I think the only thing wrong in the world is oppression. Other than that, people can pretty much live how they want. But so, yeah, one of the things that I thought would be interesting to talk about, maybe not this time, but another time, is sex. You know, like a lot of kids want to talk about sex and
Let's talk about
parents.
sex, baby. Let's talk about
Oh,
you and me. Okay, well, anyways,
and a lot of people, or a lot of parents, seem to not want to talk to their kids about sex at all.
masturbating isn't a sin.
No, absolutely
That
not.
is something that people say, masturbating is a sin. It is not.
It's a
Because
crime.
it's, no, it's, pleasuring yourself is not a crime.
It's
Crime.
exhausting.
Yeah. You can say that again, Jesus.
That's one of the reasons I've always been so adamant talking to you about sex, about free will, about your body, not having a natural relationship to your body, because I never got to have that. So even now at 47, my body's not responding naturally to things because it got rewired the wrong way. That's why it's always been so important to me that you do whatever you want when you're ready for it, but you listen to your body. You know, don't do something because you think it's cool or because someone else did it, or whatever you feel is okay. No, there's no rules other than, oh, this feels good. Oh, this doesn't feel good. So I think that's a good,
Place to stop.
yeah, because tomorrow morning we are leaving for our home country for a long time, and we're gonna have a lot of fun, and we haven't really been there for a while, and we're gonna hug some people, and yeah. So how are you feeling now that you kind of, we're probably gonna talk more about this because it kind of was like a
Can I get a septum
bomb.
piercing?
That is not something we're gonna discuss on this podcast, if this is ever a podcast, but yeah.
Talk about sex, piercings, and masturbation next week.
Let's talk about whatever we think people don't talk enough about that we'd like to hear others' opinions on. I want to thank you for doing this with me.
Thank you for inviting me.
I have no idea what's going to be of this, but yeah, I think it's interesting to talk to you in this way. It's different than us just talking
yelling at each other.
And yelling at each other.
It's our number one thing, yelling and screaming at each other.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Oh.
Well.
Well.
See ya.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
That's right. Good night.
Love ya, shotties.
If you have questions or comments to this podcast, please send them to spirals@unicornvoice.com. Thank you for listening.